Chabad.org audio.
It's a custom every Tisha B'Av to study the story of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, more specifically the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, and this is related to the Gemara Gittin. We began for the second or third time from the beginning, Kamsa Bar Kamsa, and we are holding now, we went as far as Vespasian, the emperor of Rome, came, besieged Yerushalayim for 3 years, and he beleaguered and besieged until he conquered Yerushalayim. Vespasian conquered Yerushalayim, and then he was appointed the emperor of Rome. So the Gemara says, afterwards, Vespasian went back to Rome, and he sent, who should destroy Yerushalayim and Beis Hamikdash? He sent Titus. Who was Titus? It says in Sifri, he was the adopted son of Vespasian. Vespasian had, his wife's son was Titus, and Titus came to Yerushalayim, and he destroyed Yerushalayim and burned down the Beis Hamikdash. So now we are continuing where we left off last year. Ozal Shodre le Titus Arosha. Vespasian went back to Rome, and he sent to finish off the job, the destruction of Yerushalayim and Beis Hamikdash, to Titus Arosha. Omar and Titus scoffed and mocked the Yiddish, the Jewish God. Omar, A-L-A-K-M-I, raised their God, Tzur, the rock, or the strength, Chosoyuboy, in whom they trusted. Says, who can be stronger than me, the Rome? Where is their God who can defeat me? So the Gemara continues, Titus Harosha, on very few people do the Chazal call Arosha. But Titus Harosha, Shechira Vegidav Klapi Milo. He blasphemed and insulted Klapi Milo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God. Ma also, what did Titus Rosha do when he entered into the Beis Hamikdash? What did he do? Tofas Zoino. He took a harlot, Biyodai, by his hand, by her hand, the Nichlas Belbeis Kodesh HaKadoshim. He took this harlot, and he took her, and he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the Holy of Holies. Vetziah Sefer Torah, he spread out on the ground a Torah scroll, Vovor Aleho Aveira. And Titus Arosha committed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he committed a sin with this harlot. Rabbi said, the question is, as we mentioned, the Gemara mentioned it before, as we discussed last year, who had the privilege to destroy the Beis Hamikdash? It wasn't anybody. It wasn't just a plain king or a plain emperor or a plain power. It had to be the king or the emperor who ruled the whole world. And this was Titus. Can you imagine an emperor who rules the whole world should degrade himself, debase himself to such extent, should take in public before people, should take a prostitute, to take a harlot and take her into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in public commit with her a sin? Even a goy, even a rosha, has a certain sense of morality. How degrading, how low can a person be, an emperor who rules the whole world, should dafke go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and there publicly commit with a prostitute a sin before everybody without any shame? How shameless! How low can a person be? And here we are speaking not of anybody, we are speaking Titus Arosha, the emperor of Rome who ruled the whole world, should do such a thing in public. How can we understand such a thing? Rabbi Yisrael in Chassidus, we always discuss this, such a concept, that Zelu Mazeh, whatever takes place in Kedusha must have its antithesis, the opposite force also in Klippas. And whatever we find in Klippas in evil, this itself is indicative that we find the same thing in Kedusha. Something which is very strong, very powerful in Kedusha, But the very same thing must also be very strong in Klippas. What was the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The Kodesh HaKadoshim, the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, was after the place where the Shekhinah became united with Klal Yisrael. And remember, for this reason, on the Holy Ark, the Onah Kodesh, in which were the two Luchas HaBris, but also the two Kruvim, the two Cherubims. Why after the two Kruvim? So the Chazal say this symbolizes male and female, husband and wife, and they looked at each other, as Kaviyochol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the husband, and Knesset Yisrael is the wife. They looked at each other in a Hava V'Chiba. This is what the Chazal tell us. So Mela, what was the Kodesh HaKadoshim? After the place of union and the love which was expressed between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God Almighty, and Knesset Yisrael. And this was the Dinya from Kedusha, for this is called Lechem, Luchos HaBris. What does Bris mean? Bris means a covenant, a union. The Sefer Torah is called Sefer HaBris, Luchos HaBris, because this was after the Iker of Kodesh HaKadoshim was to manifest, to show the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah, and Knesset Yisrael. Since this is the place, the union between the male HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the female Knesset Yisrael, when this degenerated, when this fell down into the Klippas, it was also the very antithesis. Davke Titus took a female, and on the lowest Madrigas, once it comes into Klippas, it falls into the lowest Madrigas of Klippas. Instead, it should be an expression of love between a husband and wife, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. It became an expression of various transgressions and sins between a power and a harlot and a prostitute. What else did he do? But not Al Sayef. He took a sword, the Gideras of Poroiches, and he slashed the curtain of the Besamigdosh, of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Nasa Nes, and the Eibishter made a miracle, or Dam Mevatzlet V'yitzer, and blood was spurting out from these Poroiches. First of all, Titus was a pagan who believed in many gods, all kinds of gods, a stronger god, a weaker god, a mightier god, a feeble god, all kinds of different polytheism, different gods. He thought that Kodesh Baruch Hu is only like dam. What's dam by a person? But the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, the blood is the seed for Nefesh HaBamis, the animal soul. He also visualized, that's how he pictured HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like in blood, which is only the life force of creation. Just like you can extract the dam, the blood, you can also destroy this divine power, because it's not something which is transcendent, infinite, almighty. One God can destroy another God. One power can destroy another power. But the Abishar also wanted to show him that this is a nest, that how could a koroich's curtain suddenly should spurt forth blood, the whole union of destruction of Beis HaMikdash, the exile of the Jewish people is not a natural phenomenon. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now the mightiest part, the Jews were always a small fraction of mankind, and they're much weaker. Who can have a power over the Edens? Only up in Ness. Without a Ness, the mightiest nations, all the nations together, you must be at Rome, conquered the whole world, and was a power of the whole world. And nevertheless, the Eibishter wanted to show him, how can you now destroy your life? How can you now scatter the Jews throughout the world? It's not your force, it's not your power. It's only because the Eibishter, the Yidden sinned, or for whatever reason we're going to discuss later on, the reason for the destruction of Beis HaMikdash and the dispersal of the Jewish people. But it's only divinely ordained. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nobody, even the whole world together cannot do it. Kesavar, he thought in his own narrow, limited mind. He thought there are different gods and different powers. Kesavar, when he saw the blood flowing out, spurting forth from the curtain, Horakes Atzmoy, he did kill HaKadosh Baruch Hu God. As I said, the pagans thought there are many different gods, a god from light, and god from darkness, a god from fire, and so on. And it's a god of the Jews and a god of other nations. So he destroyed the God of Israel. Shenema, so the Gemara says,
Shagot Sarerecho Bekerav Moyadecho. Your adversaries, your enemies of Akdish Borchu Sheagu, they cried out. In Bekerav Moyadecho, in the midst of the assembly, Som Oisoisom Oisos. They set up their ensigns for signs. In other words, they thought, this is a proof, this is a sign, this sign, that the fact from the Poroiches in front of the Kodesh HaKodoshim was flowing blood, is a sign the Jewish people, the Jewish God abandoned the Yidden. From now on, anything can be done to the Jews. Abba Chonon Oimar brings a pasuk from Tehillim, Miko Moicho Chasinko, who is as mighty as HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Miko Moicho Chasin, the Koshe, who is as mighty and powerful, not in physical strength, Sh'ato Shemeya, that you hear, Ni'utzoi Ve'gidufa, you hear the blasphemy, you hear the insults of Goyim, Shal Oysa Rosha, you hear this Titus Rosha, blasphemies. And insults HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is silent. Remember what we say, Pirkei Avos. Eize Gibor, true might is not physical might. A person should be able to control his emotions, his desires, his lusts. This is Emes Dikim might. Where do we find the Emes Dikim might? It's the Almighty. Here are nations who are blaspheming, insult God, and Hashem doesn't respond, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't react at all. Veshoisek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps silent. Rabbeisa, why take? Why does the Ebishter keep silent? Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would immediately give this retribution, punishment to the Goyim, there would be no freedom of choice. They would immediately see the results of an Avere or the rewards of a mitzvah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't become angry that Hashem has his time. We're going to see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Titus. But we don't see immediately the results for simply to maintain the principle of freedom of choice, which is the most important principle in the Jewish religion. The Berev Shmuel Tane, Miku Moicho Bekelim Adishem, also the same posik. Who is mighty among the mighty angels, mighty beings, O God? Miku Moicho, we don't say Be'eli, mighty, Be'ilemim. Ile means someone who cannot speak. Someone is dumb, cannot speak. The Ebishter also closes his mouth, Kevei Yochel, and he waits for the time when he should meet out the punishment. Ma also, what did Titus do? Not less aporeiches. Gemara says, Titus took the curtain. The curtain which he slashed or stabbed, from which blood was spurting forth. But also to mean gargusne, he made it into a basket, he shaped it into a basket. Behaviors kolakelim shebemigdosh, he brought all the ritual vessels of the Besamigdosh, the nichon behen, and he put them into this curtain. Rabbi said, why did he take the curtain? For him was iker, the golden vessels. What did he need for a basket? He needed dafke the curtain. He could have taken sacks, many other things in which he could have also wrapped all the kelim. Why did he take dafke the curtain? The boy said the curtain was for him the most important. He wanted to show the nest which happened in the curtain, that not only did he destroy the Jewish people, he lay waste to the Beis HaMikdash, but he also killed the Jewish gods. Remember, what did he think? When he slashed the curtain and blood was pouring out, what did he think? And not that he destroyed here the Elokei Israel, the Jewish God. And that's what he wanted to boast. And that's what he wanted to show, that he triumphed not only over the Jews, over the Beis HaMikdash, but he also triumphed over the God of Israel. And therefore he took the curtain, which still was bleeding, to show that he was destroying, he destroyed the Jewish God. And he put the vessels, and he brought them to Rome. Vashivam Besvina, before he came to Rome, he placed this blanket, this curtain with all the vessels, Besvina in a boat, Lelech to go, Ishtabeach the Iroi, to boast about his triumph in Rome. Those who were in Rome know that even now there is this, the
arch of victory, which shows how the Yidden were carrying as they marched to Rome, and they carried the Menorah and the Shulchan, because for him the greatest victory was not that he conquered whole Europe, not that he conquered whole Asia and whole Africa, only this tiny little Eretz Israel, that he could conquer Eretz Israel, because nobody could conquer without an Eretz. So he knew to conquer Eretz Israel, he has to conquer the Jewish God. And he thought he did do it. This was for him the greatest victory, the greatest triumph. So the Gemara says he placed all the vessels in a boat to come l'shtabeach be'iroi, to triumph and to boast about his accomplishment. He conquered the whole world, but the Iker he conquered Eretz Israel, Yerushalayim, the Samikdash. Shenemar, v'chein ro'isi reshoim kevurim, I saw how reshoim, wicked people, kevurim, how they are buried, umokam kodosh, and from a holy place, namely Beis Hamikdash, yalechu, they went forth, v'shtakhu be'ir, and they were forgotten in the city. Ashekin osu, so the Gemara says, tikor kevurim, do not read, who were buried, the reshoim who were buried, and like kevutzim, and show him how they collected all the pillage and all the plunder, the Beis Hamikdash, the vessels from Yerushalayim. Al tikru v'shtachu, do not read, they were forgotten. On the contrary, v'shtapchu, how they boasted, how what they accomplished, their biggest triumph was when they conquered Yerushalayim and they took the vessels, the ritual vessels from Beis Hamikdash. Ikidomri Kvuri Mamesh, also buried, the Rishonim buried, but not that they were buried, the Filamile de Mitamrim, even things which the Yidden buried, because they were hiding many holy vessels, Iglenlei, but also disclosed and revealed, because everything is Shinora Baisai, the entire destruction of Mitamikdash, the entire dispersal of Jewish people was everything a supernatural phenomenon. Naturally, they couldn't destroy the Mitamikdash. As you remember, we discussed before, can you imagine as one person, the Chachomim should listen to one person, that Rav Zachariah ben Aftilus. The Chachomim should listen to him, and as a result of this, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. They should have killed this slanderer, this informer, and the Chachomim didn't listen to him. So as the Chazal explained, this was not supernatural. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai could have saved Yerushalayim, and again, it was supernatural that he didn't think of such a simple excuses. And we're going to see consistently each event was not a Fiderach HaTeva. See, also, what did they find? Even hidden things which are going, how should they know where to dig and where to search? Maybe we should just give them the ideas and were disclosed to them even such a things which they should not know. Omad Olav Nichshol Shebeyam, a great storm, a gale sprang up at the sea, the Tavoy, which threatened to drown him. Omar, so Titus said, Kemduma, it apparently Shalakem Shel Elu, the God of these people, Engi Verusoi, his might, his fire is only Elbe Mayim. Hashem has power only in water. Bo Paroi, Tove Bemayim. Paroi came and he drowned the entire Egyptian army in water. Bo Sisra, Tove Bemayim. From Assyria, the general, also came and Hashem drowned him in water. Afu Oimet Olai has also trying me, Tove Bemayim is also trying me to drown in water. Rebisai, the emphasis is that the Eibishter always killed the Goyim through water. But why? Why Dafke through water? It was, I remember, the Mabel was through water, Pharaoh was through water, Sisson was through water, and Titus was afraid HaKadosh Baruch Hu again wants to kill him also through water. But he thought he was the mistake, what he made the mistake, he thought the Jewish God has power only in water. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make many, many Nisi, different nisim, remember, by Kairach, as the whole earth swallowed up them, and so on. Yibishter can make different nisim. But always, by the Rishoyim, the Yibishter made how to destroy them through water. Why Dafke through water? So there's a mimer of the Alter Rebbe. You see, when the Eibishter punishes, it must always not only be a revenge or a punishment against Goyim, it must always accomplish something positive. Now, it's not only a punishment, it's also something, a rectification, a cure, a remedy for something. Rishonim bring in this darkness, this impurity, this contamination, this evil into the world. So the Alter Rebbe explains, when the world was so corrupted, was so defiled, so tome, the time from Mabel, the whole world was corrupted. So the Eibishter destroyed humanity through water. Why darkness through water? And it took 40 days. Kishba could have destroyed the whole world in one split second. As it necessary to take 40 days. So Alter Rebbe explains, because it wasn't only for this, to destroy the Rishonim. Of course, this Kishba could have a million and one different ways in just in a split second. The purpose of this destruction was also to purify, to cleanse the world. And this was symbolized by water, a mikveh, and that's why it took 40 days, because 40 days is corresponds to the 40 sot, which a mikveh contains. So the Alter Rebbe explains that the Eibishter like puts the world in a mikveh to purify, to cleanse it. And for this reason, every time when Hashem destroyed Goyim, or something evil, it was always through water, again to emphasize it. So it's not only a punishment for the sake of punishment, because Hashem is insulted, Hashem is offended by disobeying, not listening to Hakadosh Baruch Hu's words. It's always a punishment, it's not a punishment, a cure, a cleansing process for the world. So Titus thought Hashem's power is only in water. So he says, he challenged God. He says, Gibor Hu, if Hakadosh Baruch Hu, God is truly mighty, Yalel Yabosho, let him come up on thy land, and make a war, let him fight with me on dry land. And then I'll show who I am. I'm the boss, the king, the emperor of the whole world. Yotisov Basko, again a heavenly voice, again a ness. A heavenly voice came forth for Amraloi. Rosho ben Rosho. Yerosho, the son of Rosho. Ben Benoisho Esav Rosho, the descendant of Esav HaRosho, because as you know, the Beis HaMikdash had to be destroyed, dafka not by Ishmael, dafka by Esav. And Rome were the descendants of Esav. That's what the Eibishter says, Ben Benoi Shal Esav HaRosho, that you have not the power, because it has been only preordained thousands of years before, that the hands of Rome will destroy, the Shlaim will be destroyed, and the Jewish people will be scattered throughout the world. Ber ye kalo yeshli boilomi. I have a ber ye kalo, a tiny creature. I have in my world, Yitashma, and its name is usually is being translated a gnat, but we always hear in Tanya, we usually translate not a gnat, but a mosquito. My korilo berye kalos, the Gemara explains, Hashem said, I have a small, tiny little creature. Why this tiny creature is called berye kale, a tiny creature? The malna isla, an orifice for taking in, other words, for eating, for absorbing, for taking in, it has a mouth. Omafkono lesle, but it doesn't have an orifice for excretion. Why is it called a berye kale? Because it only takes in, it doesn't take out. The Beisai Kedusha symbolized a person not only takes, but also gives. Not only a person takes, but also shares. A person only lives for oneself. This is called klipe Kedusha, to such extent that we know that even a person whose whole panosa depends on what he receives, tzedakah, charity, also has a mitzvah, he has also give from this money, which he gets from tzedakah, he also has to give tzedakah. Why? Because the Torah teaches that a person must never be only a receiver and not a bestower. Just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives, every each also has to represent, every person has to emulate a Kodesh Baruch Hu, this divinely given aspect, that we also not only take, but also give. Something which only benefits itself, but doesn't benefit other people, this is klipas. Now, from every animal, we can have some benefits. To such extent, at least with the manure, you can make fertilizers. And this will help in the growing of the fruit, of the wheat and the crops and so on. The mosquito or the gnat only eats, but doesn't even excrete. In other words, he cannot even use it as manure. So this is the utmost of clippers that we see. A tiny creature, we don't refer to a tiny creature in the sense it's small. There are many smaller creatures than a mosquito, much smaller ones. And yet the fairy calls only one creature tiny, small, only the mosquito. Why? Because spiritually it's tiny. It only takes, doesn't share. Only has to take for itself, but doesn't benefit anybody else. And the boy said, that's what Abishai wanted to symbolize. Rome is only conquered of its own benefit, doesn't help anything for mankind. Other powers, Nebuchadnezzar and so on, also conquered the world, but the nation, the countries which it conquered, to a certain extent, the economy became better, the social life became better, built bridges and so on. So they always benefited the conquered lands. Rome was only plunging and pillaring the nations which it conquered only for the benefit of Rome. But whichever country it conquered, it didn't benefit other countries. So the Abishai wanted to show what kind of a clipper is Rome, the lowest of the lowest, just like this mosquito. Only takes for itself, but doesn't share of its power, of its wealth, anything with other people. So therefore the Abishai said, you want to wage a war against me, wage a war against my smallest creature, this mosquito. And fight it. See if you can conquer this mosquito. He went up, Titus, he went up on dry land. The Bosha doesn't mean immediately. He's not in the middle of the ocean, obviously, middle of the ocean, he couldn't go up on dry land. But means when he arrived at Rome, he came up on dry land when he landed in Rome. Boyitosh, a mosquito flew against him, and Nichnas Bechoitmoy. It entered into his nose. Nokar Bemoichoy, and it knocked against his brain. Zayin Shonim, it knocked against his brain for 7 years. The boy said, why dafka through his nose? Why did it could have gone through his ears? So many different openings which the body has. The mosquito entered dafka the nose. As you know, the nose is the symbol of the neshama. That's why the very term neshama comes from the word neshima, breathe. Called neshima, called neshama, halal yutke. So we say, I'll call neshima. The breath of a person is also connected with the neshama. And just like the breathing is in and out, the neshama also pulsates lots of Yeshua. But anyways, neshama and neshima are interconnected with Teira. Also the Teira says, where did Abishai put the neshama? Imam Vipach Apov in his nostrils, Nishmas Chayim. So here, Abishai wanted just to show him that he's not only fighting here a physical war, it's a war against the neshama of the Yidin, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, against the Jewish people, a spiritual war. And why is it not successful? It's only because Abishai gives him this power. Otherwise, not a physical war with Arthur Krishmarsh would never be able to do such a thing. This mosquito entered his nose and crawled up to his brain. As he said, he knocked for 7 years. Before we go on, as the Gemara says, as soon as there's a hole in the brain, animal is safer. As soon as we find the smallest opening in the brain, a little hole in the brain is tefer. What's the definition of tefer api halacha? Any animal is deemed tefer because it cannot live for more than 12 months. So even while it's still alive, but still it doesn't, since it doesn't have enough chayes for 12 months, such animal is called tefer because it has no chayes. It cannot live for longer than 12 months. Here, how did Titus live for 7 years? It pierced through a hole in his brain. It was knocking in his brain for 7 years. So the Farshim asked the Kasha, how can such a thing be? But the base of what I said before and mentioned last year, the whole phenomenon of destruction and everything that took place wasn't a natural thing. Even this was also happiness. Unless David Hashem can make somebody who's natural to die within 12 months, Hakadosh Baruch Hu can make it, and it can survive, he can live for 7 years. And he titles his life, he should have died within 12 months. Hakadosh Baruch Hu wanted to prolong his agony for 7 years to indicate, because the Jewish people, as we're going to discuss later on, is a branch, the seven branches. Remember, the Jewish people are compared to a menorah. The menorah has the seven branches, the seven ways how we serve David. Some Yidden serve David through Chesed, which is their born branch. And then some people serve David through Gvura, through Yiras Hashem. So the Jewish people are divided into seven categories. And that's what David wanted to show him again. Whom do you take on? A nation of seven, which is the 7 days of the week, which have the seven spheres and so on. But this, everything which takes place here in the destruction of Mr. Mikdash, and every event is not a natural a phenomenon at all. Everything is nissing. So as it was knocking for 7 years, he suffered tremendously. So Gemara says, Yom Echad, one day, Havikocholiv Aboved Benafcher, he passed by the gate enough of a blacksmith. Shama Titus heard Kol Arzafte, heard the banging of the hammer of his blacksmith. Ishtik. So the mosquito stopped knocking against his brain. Because the mosquito got frightened when he heard the knock, so the mosquito stopped knocking against the brain. Omar Iketekante, Titus was very happy, and he says, Iketikanti, I found a good remedy. Medically, they couldn't cure him. They couldn't open his brain. Again, why didn't take a surgeon, open up his brain, and take out the mosquito? Said everything was a finesse. The doctors couldn't help him. He was hopeless. But so he thought, Iketikanti, I did find a remedy. What? They'll bring him every day a blacksmith. Omacha. And the blacksmith would hammer away, knock, kame, and mele, this will stop his agony, his pain. If this blacksmith was a non-Jew, Yervle Dalet Zuzim, he was given Dalet Zuzim, $4. The very last year I explained at length, so I will not repeat it again, we find in the whole story, three very significant numbers. You find number three continuously in the whole story, three rich people, and as I said, the number three recurs over and over again. Then you find number four and number seven. The significant number four and number seven, as you know, three and four also combines into seven, but everything has a very profound and a very significant reason, always three or four or seven. So it knocked against his brain for 7 years, and he paid 4 zuzim to Israel, and he said when they brought a Jewish blacksmith, Omele Mistaya, for you it's enough, the Kechodes Besanach, that you see the suffering of your enemy. This is for you the biggest reward. I cannot reward you more when you see the one who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, who scattered the Jews into exile. This is the biggest reward. I cannot reward you any better. I'll call to Yoimi. Again, I'm going to number three, but 10 times 3. For 30 days of it, Hoche, he did so. Mikam ve'elach kim ve'dosh. After the 30th day, the mosquito got used to, the blacksmith knocked, and it kept knocking against the brain of Titus, he wasn't afraid anymore. Tanya Omre Pinchas ben Aruve Anya Yisi Megdoile Roimi, I was amongst the notables of Rome. Kshepossa Keshemers, when Titus died, Pitsu es Moichoi, they split open his skull, Omotsuboy Ketsipoir Droir, and they found there something like a sparrow, Mishkal Beisloim, the weight of 2 sloim. The Masnita Tane, the Bryce, in other words, a sparrow which was heavy, the weight of 2 sloim, like 2 pounds,
All the Mepharshim ask the question, how is it possible, how did the brain contain a bird, a sparrow of 2 pounds? The question can be asked even stronger. Masnita Tanya Braisi have learned, the goy is like a dove, Benshona, a young dove, Mishko, base, littering. Even a greater weight, also base, more than 2 pounds. But here, this contradicts which was said that throughout the story, we always find number 3, number 4, and number 7, here we find number 2. How come, according to both opinions, either it was a sparrow of 2 sloim, or it was a dove of 2 liters, of 2 pounds, but always number 2. Why number 2? Again, the Eibishter wanted to symbolize or to indicate to him, what did he do? There was an achdus, a unity between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And this is what the whole purpose of Klal Yisrael, to bring an achdus into the whole world, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad. And what did he do? He disrupted this equilibrium, he disrupted this oneness, which this is the mission of the Eden, and make the opposite of oneness of two. And that's what David Shter showed, it was dafke, a sparrow, or a dove of 2 pounds, or of 2 liters, but a heavy, big, big bird. How is such a thing possible? The Mepharshim has the kasha, so its head should be swollen like a big balloon. Amar Abaye, actually the Gemara itself explains it. Naktina, we have a tradition, Pipshal Nachoynes, the beak of this bird was from copper or from brass. The parnof and the claws, Shal Barzel, was of iron. And this is a teret. Actually, it was a little bird. But it was only, the weight was like 2 pounds or 2 liters, which is even bigger, like 2 kilograms. You know, a kilogram is much bigger than 2 pounds, because it was the beak, its pisk, was from brass, and its claws was from iron, that's why it's so heavy. But that doesn't mean that Poshet, in dimension, it was a huge bird, because otherwise, it should have had a head, a very small head, and this we don't find anywhere mentioned. When Titus died, Omer Lehu, he said to his people, Iklu you burn me, Ahu Gaver burn me, Levadru lekitme asheve yamer, and scatter my ashes over the 7 seas. Why? The Lishkeche Aloikadi Yidoi, the Yidoi. The Jewish God should have been able to find me, Loikme Bedine, and bring me to trial. Again, you can see with whom were the Jews dealing here. Can you imagine such a narrow-minded, such a foolish idea? He thought, what kind of God did they believe? A God whom he escapes, a God will not find him. And that's what Titus Taki was thinking. He said, this was speaking the most civilized, the most progressed nation in the world, Rome. And he was the king, the emperor, so he would be the most intelligent. And you can see their religion, how inferior it was the Jewish religion. What did they think? If his ashes would be scattered again over what? Number 7, over the 7 oceans. And I said the number 7 we discussed last year. I think there's a tape available, so we'll not discuss it again. Always 7 or 3 or 4. Uncles Barconicus, as you know, we have Maiver Seder every Shabbos. So we have the Targum Uncles, the translation, the Aramaic rendition of the Torah, which is called Uncles. Uncles Barconicus, he wasn't a Jew, he's a proselyte, a convert. But Achse de Titus, he was Titus' sister's son, the boyly Gyura. He wanted to convert to the Jewish religion. Ozal, and now again we find, by magic he brought up 3 people, again 3 people, he consulted with 3 people. Ozal asked, he raised the neshama or the nefesh of Titus Benegide by magic. He brought up from Gehenna Titus' soul, and he wanted to consult with him whether he should convert to the Jewish religion or not. Amale man choshboy alme. He asked Titus, who are the most preeminent, most reputable people in the spiritual world, in Olam HaEmes. He is Alma de Shikra, so nations have more power,
more might, they are more powerful. Mother, they are more preeminent. But in Olam HaEmes, in the spiritual world, who is the true people? Omer LeYisrael. He answered Israel. Everybody said there are some people who are very uncomfortable with the concept of the chosen people. It's not democratic. It's not fair. How can we say we are chosen? We are better or so on. The Baisai Goy acknowledges, Tito Sonia said, Bilam. They ask, who are the chosen people? Who are the most prominent people in Emes? So we don't be shy. Sometimes you have to say, it's true, it's not the idea of the chosen people doesn't mean we are better. We only have a different mission. We have a mission to spread godliness in the world. But truly we are not better, not different than any other nation. It's absolutely a falsification of the Torah. And here you have Titus Roshe, who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. When he was asked, who are the chosen people? Who are the preeminent? Who is the prominent people? He says, Israel. Who are the chosen people of Israel? And then he asks, Maolid Vukebei. Should I join them? Should I become a Jew? Should I convert to Judaism? Omalei, Titus said to Uncleus, to his nephew, Milayu Nefishim. Their observances, in other words, their mitzvahs are very burdensome, are very, very many. But the most is like human. It's impossible to fulfill them. They didn't have too many mitzvahs. Why take upon yourself this added burden, this added yoke? It's very difficult. You see, even Jews could not fulfill all the mitzvahs. That's why Akish Baruch Hu sent them into exile. So why choose now upon you a new obligation which you don't have? You have too many mitzvahs. And he advised them on the contrary. Zilgo, Agrebehu Bahai Almer, attack them, and attack the Jewish people, and what will be the result? The harvest ratio. And you reach the top of the world. As soon as somebody does bad to the Yidden, automatically, whether he's smart or he's dumb, whether he's rich or he's poor, he's mighty or he's weak, as soon as somebody attacks the Yidden, immediately the Abish raises them up to the top. The Chsif, and that's what Titus said here to Uncleus, Hayut Zoreo Lerosh Rabbeisa, which we said today in Eichon, the first chapter, Hayut Zoreo, his adversaries, those who oppressed the Yidden, Lerosh became the head. Kolametzar, the Yisrael, the Chazal, deduct from this, whoever harasses the Jews, Naseroish, whoever causes suffering to the Jewish people, Naseroish, and you see it throughout the ages. It was Paroi who harassed or afflicted the Jews, caused the Yidden sufferings, became the most powerful nation or the most powerful empire in the world. Take Babylonia, take Persia, take Greece, take Rome, take Germany, take Russia, take the Arabs, always whoever caused distress and suffering to the Jewish people immediately became at the top. The boy said, the question is, why, Tatya? Why, as soon as that's what he told him in Hashemayim. Titus, the Neshama of Titus, the nefesh of Titus, said, Kol HaMetzal Yisrael, whoever harasses, whoever causes suffering to Jewish people, Naseroish, becomes immediately big, a big shot. Why, Tatya? The boy said, for this we find two explanations, several explanations, but we'll discuss tonight two explanations. One explanation is simply, what's Taka the cause? Why does the Abishah sometimes give power for a goy to be able to harass and bring suffering to Eden? The result of this Maisa Eden do tshuva and come to much higher Madrega, Malkom Shabbal tshuva in Dim, Afil Tzadikim Gimun Mesinoy, as a result of Golas, we reached a high Madrega, which in time for Bais HaMikdash Eden could have never reached to such a high Madrega, as Dafkin time of Golas. Dafkin when the Eden are being oppressed, Dafkin then they turn to Akadosh Baruch Hu, they cry out to the Abishah, and they do tshuva, and do more mitzvahs and so on, as we see. Torah literature, what was produced in the ghettos, never before, not in Israel, not in Babylonia, dark in the ghettos, in American Jews, are free, they have liberty, do we produce as many meforshim, so many svarim in Torah, in Nigla, in Chassidus, in Kabbalah, as dark in the dark ages of suffering in the ghettos in Europe. Die Dachke zu Zores Yin kriegt da infinitely high Madrege. And this is the Emes. Bakrish Baruch Hu sometimes brings a Yid into Zores. Because this is a Dachke Ayeride Zorich Aliyah. This is a descent into suffering. This comes out as a tremendous spiritual sprouting a spiritual elevation. Since the goyim are the cause of this, without the goyish suffering, the Israel would never be able to reach such a high spiritual madriga. Hashem never holds back from a goy the reward which he is entitled to. Since goyim brought, through the suffering, they brought a benefit spiritually in Torah mitzvahs to a yid, they need a reward. So Dafkas remember the Parah was rewarded, and a Hitler was rewarded, and so on and so forth. So this is one of the explanations. But Rabbi said there's a much deeper explanation. The Chazal tell us, as the Eibishter makes it for the covet of the Eden, the honor of the Eden. Just imagine how would it look, the Jews should suffer as a nation, as a power, which is insignificant. Is this a covet? If a nation which conquers the whole world, and they can also conquer the Jewish people, at least as a mighty nation. But a little nobody, a little weakling, they should be able to oppress the Jewish people. This wouldn't be a covet. So the Chazal tell us, before the Eibishter gives over, Hashem, because of Averus and so on, Hashem sends the Yidin Goles, in Goles Bovel, Goles Poras, Goles Yovon, Goles Europe, and Spain and so on. Before that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu elevates those nations, that at least should be the covet for our Yidin. But if they suffer, at least let them suffer at a great nation, not a simple nation. So Titus said, on the contrary to Incolus, don't join them, don't convert to Jewish people. On the contrary, start oppressing the Eden and you become great. Amalei dina dahai gavre b'mai. Then they asked him, what is your punishment? Since you destroyed the Samigdash, obviously be punished. What is your punishment? Amalei demai de posteke nafshi. But I myself decreed upon myself. As you know, but Eibish is always midah k'neged midah. What I myself did, that's what Eibish punishes me. Kol yoimim michneshel de kitme. Malachim gather, collect the ashes. Remember, before he died, he said he should be burned, and his ashes should be scattered throughout the seven oceans. So he says, the ashes are being collected every day, v'dinalei, and I'm being judged all over again, v'kolulei, and I'm burned in Gehenem, v'vadre ashev yamer, and again they spread, they scatter my ashes over the seven oceans of the world. Unkeles was satisfied, so what did he get? A clear answer. Which is the Emesic religion? Who are the Emesic people in this world? Who is the chosen people? Is Dafke who? The Jewish people. That's what he wanted to hear. That's what he heard from Titus. But you don't rely on opinion of one, a pitere, a bezes to be three, and always, I mean, three things, if you have three witnesses, is always the best. So he also did not decide to convert to Judaism as a result of one advice. So the Gemara says, Askele Bilam. He brought up, remember from just a few weeks ago we studied in the Chumash about Bilam the Novi, this great Yetrosha. And again he brought him up by magic, magical powers. Omerlei, he asked him again the same question, he posed him the same question. Man Choshibah Alme. Who are the most prominent people in this world? Bahayam means in the world, in Shemayim, in the Olam Ho'emes. Omele, he says, who is the Emesic people? Israel. Without any question, he says, who are the Emesic people, the chosen people, the prominent people? Even Bilam HaRoshe said, is that Israel? Ma'ol Ibukebuhu, should I join them? He asked the same question, should I convert to the Jewish religion, Omele, by Sidrosh Loimam, do not seek their peace, the Tavosam Kalimecho, nor their prosperity. Now this is Arosha, and you see, the Boisa Arosha, even in Olam Ha'emes, it means Arosha. Bilam, even Gehenem, cannot say anything good. He sees who are the Emesic people, the chosen people. Who are the people whom the Eibishter loves, whom the Eibishter cherishes, Dafke the Eden, and yet they cannot strip himself of these clippers, of these Averus. And even there he owes his anti-Semite. Not only is anti-Semite here, once anti-Semite, forever is anti-Semite, even in Olam HaBo, in Olam HaEmes, even there he says, do not seek their goodness, don't be good to the Jews, and don't seek their prosperity. Then he asked him, Omele Dina Doi Gavri B'mai,
How are you punished? Omele, he answered him again, Midah k'neged Midah, measure for measure. What I did, Averes, the same thing how the Eibishter punishes me. Beshichva zera v'isachas. With boiling hot semen. The Beisaj, what was Bilam? Here on one hand, Bilam was as great in prophecy as Moshe Rabbeinu. As the Chazal tell us, Abisrael Eikam, of the Umas Olam Kam, he was equivalent in Klippas. He was a prophet, tremendously great prophet. What do you think? A spiritual force, a spiritual power, prophecy, should refine, should purify, should elevate, should ennoble a person. What was Bilam? Remember the Chumash, what the Torah say? With whom did he have intercourse? With his wife? But he was had intercourse with whom? With his donkey. This was Bilam. This is animal. Remember what the Chumash Rashi says about him? With his donkey. Afterwards, what did he do to the Jewish people? Remember, he wanted to curse the Jewish people. And he said, and he see that he could not succeed. What did he do? He advised Midian, Moab, and Balak of ways how they can lead the Jews to go astray. How? To the wives or the ladies of Moab. So remember again, immorality. His whole life was only immorality. His own personal life, and also led the Jewish people astray, or again in immoral ways. So consequently, what was his punishment? Also this hard boiling steam. The boy says, don't take it literally. The Gemara says he was burned, or he's boiled in hot semen, zera. It means lemailo in Shemayim, there's no zera, there's no hot zera. Means that there he saw the tremendous the humiliation, the shame, what he brought into the world, in other words, what he did, there he sees the results. And this is the most painful, as the Alter Rebbe says in Ilkut Torah. What is Gehenem? The shame of our wrongdoings which we did in this world. When he saw, when it was shown to him in Gehenem, the awareness of what, the way of life which he led, and what had he led us to the Jewish people through this immorality, this what means this was burning him. This zera which he taught so much aversion to, this immorality and decadence. That's what this was. He was boiling. This was his punishment. But not that mean literally that it was a big pot filled with zera and semen, and he was boiled in it. Ozal asked, we said, he consulted with three. Who was the third one? Yoshke. As everybody knows, whom I am referring to by Yoshke. He brought up first, it was Titus, who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The second one who he brought up was who? Bilam. And then he brought down the founder of the Christian religion, Yoshke. He brought down this, this one, the third one. Again, the voice of number three. Why precisely these three? Because you mustn't forget there are three powers in this world. This brute physical power. And this can be the most important thing in the world. For some people, just physical, material, brute force, this is the most important thing. This represented Titus. Brute force, which conquered the whole world. Then you can have spiritual powers, but used for non-good things. What was it? Bilam, a false prophet. And the third one was a Jew. The third one was a Jew boy. And this is what he wanted to show, even the lowest, most inferior Jew boy is better than the best goy. He brought up a third in a yid, a third a power, a third force, but Poshi Israel, this great transgressor who went against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of believing in one God, he made it three gods, Trinity. And he brought up Yoshke, Omele Man Choshebai Alme. Ask him again the same question. Who are the most prominent, popular people in Olam Haba? Omel Yisrael. And you know, you can fool some of the people all the time, can fool all the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. Apitayra 3 is like always, and all three, Bilam and Titus and Yoshke, all three said unequivocally, who are the most prominent people in the world? Not to be asked a Jew, Goyim, Klippers, and they testified that it's the Jewish people. Mal et vuke bohu, should I join them? Should I convert? Should I embrace the Jewish religion? Omale, toivosom droish. Seek their welfare. If we can help a Goyit, he was speaking a Jew who went against the Jewish people, against his own people, against his own God, and he became a Rosh Merusha. And here we look what he says. Bilam said, don't seek their goodness. Yoshke said, toivosom droish. Their goodness, help them. Their goodness you should seek. Rosom al tidrosh. Do not do any harm to our yid, because it's very, very dangerous. Why? Kol anoigeya, bohem, whoever touches our yid, kilo noiga beboas enoi, just like you would touch the pupil or the apple of God Almighty. And that's what he said. He didn't tell him he should convert, but he also didn't tell him he should do harm to the Eden, oppress the Eden. He says, on the contrary, do only good. Then he asked him, Dinev the High Gavre the Mai, what is your punishment? He asked, what is the punishment of Yoshke? Omele Betsoyara Sachas. With heart boiling excrement, Domer Mar, because we have learned, Kolam Malik al Divrei Chachomim, whoever mocks Divrei Chachomim, the words of our sages, Nidon in Spanish, Betzera Sachas. Again, Betzera Sachas doesn't mean a physical sense, but again, he saw his humiliation, how low he descended into the, all the way to the abyss, because of making a new religion. Now the boy said, the Gemara itself says, Tochazi, come and see man ben Poshi Yisrael and be of the Kachumi. Just see what is the difference between the worst Jew and the best Goy. Who is the best Goy? A Goy who reaches, who attains prophecy. There cannot be a higher Goy than somebody is a prophet. And who was the biggest prophet of the Goyim? It was Bilam. The boys are called to many opinions. Bilam is Lavan. Remember Lavan, Rots, Lakaris, Hakoil. Bilam and Lavan are the same thing. Lavan was a Novi. And Bilam, according to many sages, in Midrash, Lavan and Bilam are the same. But in any case, here we speak Bilam, who was equivalent in spiritual sense, could have reached the same object as Moshe Rabbeinu. But he abused his power that Eveshter gave him. And you see, he remained a Rosh, not only while he was in this world, but the Rosh also in the world to come. So the Gemara says, see the difference between a bad Jew and a good Goy. And what is such the reason? How come a Goy even in Gehenna still remains after the Gehenna in Olam Habo is still bad? So the Marami Park explains this a great length from my side. See the difference between a Yid and a Goy. A Yid is Be'etzem good. Be'etzem is essentially a Yid is good. If a Yid is bad, it's a superimposition upon him, it's an added aspect to him. Just like, for example, gold. Gold is always pure gold. Yes, it can become tarnished, it can become soiled, but the gold never changes, always means pristine, pure gold. So, Mele, if it's tarnished or vanished, eventually it can be cleansed off, it can be purified. This is the Gehenna, a Yid comes to Olam Habo, or in this world does tshuva, the Etzem is always perfect, the Etzem is always good, the essence of a Jew is always good. It has been a little mud or a little impurity has been added to it, it can be washed off. A Goy is the Etzem no good. As the Alter Rebbe says, the Etzem a Goy shoshkin b'sat meyers. Remember when the Alter Rebbe was asked in prison by the Minister of Justice, how can you say in Tanya, how can you teach, as Elam Teif Klal, the Alter Rebbe was posed 10 questions. And all difficult, very difficult questions. And the most difficult one was, the Alter Rebbe teaches in Tanya, as a Goy, Elam Teif Klal. A Goy is bad, some no good. If he has any good, always for ulterior motives, for some benefit of himself. But Etzem is no good. And Marmi Prak explains this at great length. So when the Alter Rebbe was asked this question, how can you say a Goy doesn't have any good? So the previous 9 questions the Alter Rebbe answered to their satisfaction, and they accepted every answer, every response of the Alter Rebbe. When it came to the 10th question, and this question was asked the Alter Rebbe, he did not answer, only looked at the Minister of Justice who interrogated the Alter Rebbe, and he gave just a little smile, to the minister. And the minister just looked at Alter Rebbe was smiling, and he said to Alter Rebbe, okay, enough, you don't have to answer me, I know the answer. And Alter Rebbe didn't answer him anything. So the Alter Rebbe was afterwards asked, what was the answer? The Alter Rebbe said to Chassidim, who asked him, I was implying to the minister, you saw that I could answer all your questions to your satisfaction, that you accepted all my previous answers, you accepted it. Believe me, I can also answer you this also, that a goy has no good in him. A goy is the etzem ra. If he has any toif, is an addition to this etzem. But the etzem, the essence of a goy, is not toif. It's male to the Alter Rebbe, but implying to the goy, what is it necessary? I should explain to you. Isn't it better? You should think that you have good. I can prove it to you. I can convince you that you don't have any good. It's better you should not be convinced and just live in this delusion that you have some good. And the goy accepted it, and he says, enough, I don't need the answer. And this is what the Brahma Taka explains here also. Since the etzem is bad, what can Gehenna help? Gehenna is a cleansing process. If something is no good, how can you clear? By washing it. Steel. Rusty. If you wash it, will it come off the rust? Once a steel became oxidized and became rust, you can cleanse it with all kinds of detergents. It's always rusty. It's always steel. It can never become gold. On the other hand, gold, even if it becomes defiled, varnished, if you just wash it off, it becomes revealed to the etzer. And this is what the Mount Brach says here. Abilon is ra. Even Gehenna is also ra. Even it cannot be tshuva. Because the etzem is bad, it always means bad. There's a yid, the etzem is good, as soon as Yoshke, such a big Russian, made a new religion. And how many hundreds of millions of Jews were killed at the hands of Christianity because of what Yoshke did. But nevertheless, the etzem is another, his evil is enormous. But nevertheless, the etzem of Yoshke is a Jew, the Jew is always good. It comes Gehenna, he's being washed off, and then he says, only do good for a yid. Don't ever do anything bad, because whoever touches a yid, just like we touch the most sensitive part of the body, which is the pupil of the eye. Omer Eblozor, Tanya, Omer Eblozor, we have learned in a braisa. Omer Eblozor, Boi Veru, come and see. Kamo G'doilo Koicho Shel Bushe, how serious is the Avera of somebody put somebody else to shame. How great is this power of this Avera? The boy says, tremendous. Sharesaye, Akrish Borchu es Barkamtze, the Eibishter helped Barkamtze, the Hichiv es Beisoy, Akrish Borchu destroyed his Besamikdosh, his house, the store of Esecholoi, and burned down the sanctuary. What do we see from here? We think Barkam survived. What was the cause of the destruction of the Samigdash? Because Barkam informed the government and so on. See what the Gemara says? It wasn't only Barkam. The time has come, the Besamigdash should be destroyed. The Eibishter helped. What does it mean the Eibishter helped Barkam? Nobody should ever listen to Barkam. As soon as Barkam became the former, the din is in Halacha, even our time, now. When we don't have a Besamigdash, we don't have a Sanhedrin, you can put to death somebody's a reformer. Nowadays, if there is a moser, a reformer, Rama Paskins, the Alter Rebbe Paskins, the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch was deleted because of the censors, but if we gave out now the new edition of the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, we put it back, and the Alter Rebbe Paskins, it's a verdict, a din in Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, that any moser nowadays a bezin, a koyach, this is an exception. A retzeach bezin has no koyach, a bezin, for a retzeach, for a murderer, Bezin cannot put anybody to death. On the other hand, any murderer. On the other hand, a moser, an informer, can be put to death even our time in this way, even without having a Beis HaMikdash, and without having a Sanhedrin. So obviously the Chachomim should have put to death Bar Kamsa, this informer. Why didn't they put him to death? This is the Halacha. Because just like David should took away the mind from Yochanan ben Zakkai, he didn't think properly. Remember the Gemara which we discussed last year? The Yochanan ben Zakkai ben Mespeches asked him for three requests and I'll fulfill it. So the Gemara asked, why didn't the Yochanan ben Zakkai ask, give me one more chance, don't destroy this Amikdash? And Vespasian promised him, all his requests will be fulfilled. Why didn't he do it? Because David should took away his mind. He didn't think of it, such a simple, simple, obvious thing. He didn't think. Why? Because Bashert, it was already predetermined, the time has come, and said, Ibn Minashomayim, it's not supernatural, the Beis Hamikdash should be destroyed. He also, why didn't the Chachamim listen to listened to Rabbi Yochanan ben Apkulus, and didn't put Bar Kamsa to death, he was a Chamoser. Again, the Chazal tell us, Ibishta did it. That's what it says, Sharesai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hu hope, as Bar Kamsa, that he should be saved, and the Beis Hamikdash should be destroyed. Now, the entire union of Golas is not something logical. Nobody could ever be able to conquer the Jewish people. Nobody could be able to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. The Hechrib is based on Eibishter destroyed his house, his home, the story of Ezechola, and he burned down his sanctuary. The verse that we find here, but in Chassidus is called the Golas Hashchina. What does Golas Hashchina mean? The Eibishter became simply homeless. Hashem has no home. It says, Hechrib is based on Hashem destroyed his home, his house, the sort of as a holoi and burn down his sanctuary. This is the Abish the Golas has no home. The Baisai. Suddenly in the last few years became a problem, homelessness. There are people on the streets, people in the subways, people in the parks, on benches, and they have no place where to go to sleep, they became homeless. How come this problem suddenly jumped up, emerged in our time? In the last few years. People, nowadays we are poorer than before. We never heard 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, such an idea, such a thing as homelessness. Suddenly popped up from nowhere, a problem is homelessness. Because the MSDK homeless is the Eibishter. Our Eibishter has no home since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Hichrif has Beisoi. And the Asorif has Eicholoi. Before we said the Jews became homeless because we are also in exile, we also have a home. For this is a din, but Ayid buys in Chutzlor, it's a house. For the first 30 days, he doesn't have to put on a mezuzah because it doesn't belong to us. We are in Golas. Our home is there in Israel, in Yerushalayim, there's a Mikdash. Jewish people are homeless. And Abish is homeless. And now, since we are, as the Rebbe says, at Mosa, the time came already. The Abish should take a rebuild, send out the third Beis Hamikdash, his home. So everything which is in Gashmis, in Ruchnis, also comes from the Gashmis. Suddenly a problem with homelessness. Because the Ike problem is the Eibishter is homeless. And we have to find a place for the Eibishter. The Jewish people are homeless. The Eibishter, the Rebbe says, there are enough Golas, we suffered enough for it, there's no more explanation. The Katchilas, the Chazal tell us, from the beginning, the whole Golas has no logical explanation. Only the Eibishter did it, as Gemara says to you. It wasn't Kamsa Bar Kamsa, it wasn't Titus, it wasn't Rome. Sakrish Boch, the Eibishter did it. So the Eibishter is now has no home, it's Chora Hichivas Beisoi. Eibishter is homeless, so the Bible tells this ideas have to reverberate throughout the world, because this Indian has to, anything which is the Ruchnis comes down and says, this Yidotzech, the Kristotzech. As is Bayiv, that's about Goyim also. So suddenly became our Indian a problem of homeless, because Eibishter is homeless, Jewish people are homeless, and we have to find a boat for the Eibishter, and we have to find a boat for Klal Yisrael. And the male, all these poor people are homeless, will also be fixed. Maybe should we continue or we should stop already? Now the Gemara continues. As the Gemara wants to say, the whole union of destruction of the Samigdash, Yerushalayim and Beta, and throughout all these sufferings, were caused by completely illogical, absurd things to indicate this everything in Hashemayim. Because of a rooster and a hen, Turmalte was a great area in Israel, and Turmalte, which the Gemara is going to discuss, millions of people were killed for such a trivial, insignificant thing. Again, to indicate it wasn't because of reasons. For this reason, simply the time has come, the Eibishter did for Averis and so on, but it was just a logical union. Tavenehige, it was the custom, Kavimaske, Hasne, the Kalse, when the bride, Achosne, the Kale, went to the Chuppe, Mafike, Maeta, and the Gule, the Tanegolze. Nowadays, by Oproof, you know, when we call up the Chosne, so we throw candies and raisins and nuts. In those days it was the custom, when the Chosne Kale went to the Chuppe, used to also carry before them a rooster and a hen. Why? Claim to symbolize pruruvu, be fruitful and multiply. Can I go him like this spouse? Yeim echad havekicholet gundne. One day, a band of Roman soldiers passed by a Jewish chuppah, shaklinu minayu, and they took away, they grabbed away the cock or the hen and the rooster. Nafolayu, the Jews fell upon the soldiers, upon this Roman band, mechinhu, and they beat up the Roman soldiers. Osa Omra Lekeza, so the soldiers, the Roman soldiers came to the emperor and they said, Mord Boho Yehudoi, the Jews are rebelling against you. Osa Layu, he marched against them. Havel Hai Droimus, he came to conquer the Jews in Israel because he suspected they're going to here to rebel against the Jews, against Rome. Havebu Hai Bar Droimus. A person is called Bar Droima. From the Gemara, we don't know who this Bar Droima is. The Bar Droima simply means a son of the south. Who this Bar Droima was, from the Gemara, we don't know exactly who it was. But from Yerushalmi and from Medish, we know this is Bar Kochba. And this is Bar Kochba. Now, a Kofetz Miller, who could jump a mile, in other words, he was supernaturally strong, he could jump 1 mile. The Kotel boy could slaughter them, the Roman soldiers. Shakli Kesele Taget, the emperor took off his crown. Asri Aren, he placed it upon the ground. Omarin, he said, Riboino de Almik Kuloi, sovereign of God, king of the whole world. Inichaloch, please. Timserelila, how Gavrele de Dil Machusabide de Had Gavre. Do not deliver me and the entire Roman Empire, my kingdom, into the hands of one person. This person, this Bar Droima, was so mighty, he single-handedly could slaughter, kill out all the Roman soldiers. Again, everybody says, guys, it is a fantasy, the truth. It must be the Jewish people are always a miraculous people, and this is somebody to jump a mile is a miracle, and the whole thing is a miracle. But he could single-handedly defeat the Roman Empire. Actually, Pumele Bar Droima. Bar Droima's mouth stumbled. And what did he say? Omar, he says, Haloi Atele Kim Zunachtonu. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zunachtonu, you cast us off. Letetzel Kim Zunachtonu, you don't have to go with our army. In other words, what did he say? As long as you don't help our enemies, you don't have to help us. Now here, whether it was Bar Kochba or whether it was Bar Droima, a separate person, but anyways, Rabbi Yisrael, Ayid should always know, even if he has supernatural koiches, everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, a person is very rich. Should not think his riches is because he's so smart, he's so shrewd. It's simply because the Eibishter made him so rich. And because the Eibishter wants to be rich, the Eibishter gives him intellect. They should give them smartness and shrewdness and business acumen and so on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants somebody else should be so rich, maybe she would give somebody else this same business acumen. But everything comes only from Hashem. Here, Bar Kochba, Bar Droima thought, himself, his own strength, Hashem doesn't have to help him or the Jews as long as he doesn't help the goyim. And this is what the Gemara says, Ich shom bepume. His mouth stumbled because as soon as he severed himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no more strength. There is no more success. There is no more luck. As long as a person is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person can succeed. If a person cuts his umbilical cord with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all his strength, all his might, and all his greatness, all his power, immediately goes away. Al besakchise, Padroim went to the privy, also Drekne came a snake, Shamtele karkashe. And he just bit him, and v'nach nafshe, and Bar Droima died. Omar, not a boysai. Even the Roman emperor recognized, it wasn't him, Rome, who destroyed Bar Droima, who killed Bar Droima. Who was it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Omar, so the emperor said, Heul vis rachesh le nisse. The emperor recognized, since a miracle happened to me. Now, the he recognizes the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who saved Rome from Bar Droim or from Bar Kokhba. Since a miracle happened to me, I'm going to reciprocate to God, I'm going to pay back to God, I will leave the Jews alone. How zimne ashvekinu? I'm going to leave the Jews alone, and I'm not going to conquer them. Shavkinu, and he left them. Oh, the only went away. Is the car v'ochlu v'shosu? They began to rejoice. They ate. They feasted. V'shosu and they drank. V'dliku shragye, and they lit many lights. Avis chaze b'lyoine de gushpenke, until the engravings of our seal, of our ring, was visible. Berochak mile. You know, in our ring, you have the engraved the letters of a person. For a mile, there was such a great light that for a mile away, first people could see from such a distance the engraved letters up in the ring. And so what did the Goy do to this emperor? He changed his mind. Omar, he says, Mich de kuchodebi. They marry over me the thought that I left them because I'm afraid of them. And he came back and invaded the Jews. And Omar of Asi, Klas, Meo, Alpha, Schlieffe, Seifer. 300,000 men, Schlieffe, Seifer, with Zon, swords, Eile, Turmalke, came to Turmalke, the Kotlebehu, and killed, slaughtered them. Talteon again, number 3 days. The Talteon also, they say, 300,000 soldiers, 300,000 soldiers, killed for 3 days and for 3 nights, Losser. The Hach Gisselule, and was such a great territory, they killed for 300, for 3 days and 3 nights. One part were feasting and rejoicing. And the second half did not know about the slaughter and the bloodshed what was going on for 3 days. Now as we see that how great this huge territory was. But Rabbi Yisai, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make again that the emperor should change his mind and come back and invade the Jews again, which he originally didn't want to do, and invade the Jews and kill the Jews? Because in Emes Rabbi Yisai, what was wrong with the Yid start to feast and rejoice with the Simcha? Because when a Yid sees a nest, the Goy emperor recognizes a nest. The Yid recognizes a nest. They were not rejoicing and the Simcha for the nest of the Eibishter. As you know, for every nest which a Yid does, what the Eibishter does for a Yid should pay back and should also rejoice, make a Yontef and thank the Eibishter. They did not thank the Eibishter. They were just rejoicing themselves for the fact that they were saved. It was just a physical phenomenon, not they were thanking the Eibishter. As soon as they did not thank the Eibishter, they only were happy for themselves that they were saved. So then the Eibishter gave this idea into the mind of the emperor, and he came back, and he killed out thousands, as later we're going to discuss, millions of Jews. But Rabbi Yisrael, we're going to stop here. In the next year, I'm sure, and the Rebbe always says with the last generation of Golas and the first generation of Gula, and it's very possible before Tisha B'Av will end yet, Mashiach will come, because it says in the Chazal, Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av, and it says when Mashiach will come, a child will be born, the very same day also will mature. In other words, it won't take, before you become mature, it takes 15 years or 18 years before you can get married, or 20 years, you'll be mature in the very same day. As soon as a child will be born in the time of Mashiach, be immediately mature and intelligent and smart, like a full-grown person, the very same day. Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. He's very mature. He can also come and take us out from Golas and take us to Israel.